Don Smith, founder and lead counselor at Bridge to Life Ministries. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, part 3.
I want to read to you what one commentary said, and this is like bingo. It's so powerful. Here's what one commentary wrote. So concerned is God that Christian husbands live in an understanding and loving way with their wives that he interrupts his relationship with them when they are not doing what they should. No Christian husband should presume to think that any spiritual good will be accomplished by his life without an effective prayer life. And no husband may expect an effective prayer life unless he lives with his wife in an understanding way and bestowing honor on her. To take the time to develop and maintain a good marriage is God's will. It is serving God. It is a spiritual activity pleasing in his sight. That God takes our relationship with our wife so seriously, he says, if you're not doing and loving your wife and understanding her the way you should, interrupting here's my relationship until you get that right. I just wonder how many of us are going through the motions and taking in, could care less what our relationship is with our wife. And if I'm going there, let me go a step farther. Is there anything in your life that is not as it should? You might say, well, I'm not doing any gross sin. I'm not having an affair. But I think that sometimes as husbands, as men, we entertain thoughts that aren't proper. Just sat down, and I don't even want to give a context here because it's too fresh. But in the last little bit, sat down with three different men who've either had emotional affairs on the internet and texting and going out for lunch and doing some things. You know what? And they sit there, I don't care. As if to say, I can live my life the way I want. And they profess, folks, to be Christians. And I just scratch my head and say, how did Satan so blind them? Any of us for that matter. And I'm just saying, is there any secret sin that you're harboring? Whether it's a hard heart or just anger. I think I need to come daily before the throne of God and just say, is there anything that is going on in my thought life, in my actions, my attitudes, that is hindering me loving my wife? Because if it is, it's stopping me from having a relationship with you. Here's the question that came to my mind as I thought about this. I wonder what our lives or how our lives would be different if we had the power of prayer because we live righteously. And I wonder how our church would be different if we lived righteously because our prayers would be answered differently. Is it possible that our lives and our church, and this is no condemnation of the church, I'm part of it, is stagnant, whatever that means, because we don't take seriously how we live our life and how we love our wives? I don't know. To me, just Lord just kind of woke me up that I got to take this. I normally don't stop to think or look at it, but that's what he's talking about here, is that What is this going to do? So, let me just close. This is kind of a repeat here. I want to share one illustration, and then I have a video clip to show in closing. It might be this morning that there's some of you as husbands who have been deeply hurt by your wives. How are you dealing with it? And you listen to the message or the verse here, how you should live, and it's like, I really don't care. And I'm checked out emotionally anyhow. She's let me down. She's so critical. She's so whatever. My mind goes to this. Do you remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And as he's about to go to the cross, he goes there with three disciples. And he says, you stay here and pray while I go up here and pray. And you know what the words say there? I need you to pray. It's not like, it'd be nice if you prayed. I'd really appreciate it. The wording there is actually pleading for prayer. So Jesus goes up and prays, and then he comes back down after a little while. They're playing cards. No, they're sleeping. He says, wake up, guys. I need you. It's a fervent plea. Oh, we're sorry, Jesus. We just kind of dozed off, but we'll do better. Jesus goes back up, he prays again, comes back to the disciples. Second time they're praying, they fall asleep. He's about ready to be crucified and be beaten and suffer and go to the cross and die. And they want to sleep. Jesus goes back up a third time, prays and comes back, and that's when Judas is there and the soldiers, and they take him off. Here's the point. Even though the disciples, the ones who were closest to Jesus, let him down at his most crucial moment, he still went to the cross and died. Guys, you know what that teaches us? Is even if our wives let us down, we still go to the cross and die. It's not like, well, she let me down, so why should I matter? No, even though your wife lets you down miserably, we're called to love our wives as Christ in the church. So this morning, I just simply say this. I don't know where you are. I think God is saying, Don, where are you? God, I'll take a look. I need to figure that out. With that, you know in your heart what you need to make right with God in this department. But I pray you do.
BridgeToLifeMinistries.org of Spring Lake, Michigan.